What's that? What? Yeah, we're not going to start yet. Yeah. Okay, so Amanda, take her away.
Well, I already collected all the last week.
Okay.
And I gave out 4 questionnaires per person.
Okay.
So it should be quite short for this week. But I know we're not meeting next week, so I'll just collect those out.
Yes. So everything will be done by October 10th. That's great. Yes, so still working on getting the session data from my colleague. And yeah, so next week we're not meeting. How about that? Great. And so I hope to have the data by October 10th, okay? And then we'll talk about how to enter those data.
Is it different?
What?
Is it different?
Yeah, so the session data are weekly
data
that's collected. These are just the 3 times during the year, September, January, and May. So this is weekly data. You hadn't had any experience in entering those data? No? Okay. Did you? Nobody has. Oh, okay. All right, good.
So we need to construct and sell
them. What I can do is I can convert an SPS file into Excel like I did with the other one and do it that way. Okay. Just make a note of that. And actually, Taylor, would you mind contacting Holly and just asking her who entered those data last year? The session data, not the time point data.
Okay. All right.
She knows the difference. Yeah. She knows the difference. Any questions about the data? Could you take those out?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thanks.
It's a force of habit.
No problem. Anybody run into any problems with entering the data, or?
No, I don't know. We're missing the always.
The always was missing in a lot of the files?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, also, some of them, you could tell the student wasn't taking it seriously. So, like, you would just write the same answer for, like, one whole section would be the same answer. But that wasn't the majority of them, but it was a little irritating.
Well, I'm sure it would make it easy to enter, though. Right, but yeah, so these are early adolescents who really don't care about research, and some of them had mixed feelings about being in the group.
I was going to ask, were they coerced to be in the group?
No, they can't be coerced. It's voluntary. But some of them had mixed feelings about being in it. Do I want to be in it? Do I not want to be in it? It's a waste of my time. I get to be with my friends.
How do they get compensated? Do they get compensated for
it? The compensation is the intrinsic joy of participation, Eli. right? So there's no, it's services that they're receiving. So the services are the compensation. You know, they were free to drop out at any time. And most of them didn't drop out, actually, because they formed, each group formed its own kind of culture. And so they stayed in it. But I'm not surprised that some students took advantage and just circled all the same answers to get through it. So we'll be able to flag those particular questionnaires. Would be pretty obvious when we take a look at the data that that's what they did. Any other, maybe you could spot check this week or next week, actually, because we're not going to be meeting. Just spot check some of the data on the Excel spreadsheet to make sure it was entered appropriately. Maybe one questionnaire per person in the room. All right. Maybe spot check a questionnaire that's particularly challenging to enter, or maybe more challenging than the others, maybe the RF scale or something. I don't know. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Huh? Oh, yeah?
I was 7 for 7 with my father, just doesn't care about me, which I thought was...
7 for 7.
I noticed that.
Either 7 for 7 or 6 for 7, one of those two. I love my mother so much. My dad is cold and way too hard on me. And doesn't
really?
Care. It was like,
I noticed that for most of my... I even commented to myself, I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why is this happening? Like, it's always like my mother is my angel.
They
mother
love your mother
my
and
your
father is so...
My
so
father
cold.
Is... Cold.
So, yeah.
And my father is insensitive, and he's scary.
He's
I'm scared of him.
So there's a split between all it's all good mother, all bad father.
Yeah.
Almost
well,
not 100%, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Majority.
See, there's a dissertation right there. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The sad part was when it was like, I am, and it was like, I am lazy, a bad kid, and no one likes me.
Mm-hmm.
They're most of them were like that, or just one?
I mean,
I saw
a bunch. Many, but yeah, it was like.
So much like that. You said the opposite. Most of my kids have positive things to say about themselves. And I think only one had like something bad to say about his dad.
Yeah, me too. The parents were pretty like they were pretty positive about their parents and mine. Yeah.
All
Did
positive
you?
About the researcher, about the minister.
The therapist.
Yeah.
Okay. So Amanda, did you randomly assign the packets, or was there some system? No, just random. Okay. Interesting. So it's good that there's individual differences, right? There's variation in responses. Where there's variation, we can actually conduct correlations with other aspects of the data set, which is great. If everybody said the same thing, it's no longer a variable, it's a constant, which then can't be used. So that's
so
good.
We have not talked about the APA poster. I know there was something you and I discussed to bring up. I think that's some point.
Yeah, you can bring that up. Go ahead.
So usually we submit a poster or multiple posters. So
well, hopefully it would be something that we're working on.
Right. So we're in this project and the session data, that's the same thing.
Yes. But then the PQS stuff.
Right. So we could use any of those data sets.
Sure. I think what maybe a first step, because so many of us are first-year students, maybe send out the two posters to the entire lab so they can look at the posters and see what the expectations are. Does that make sense?
Right.
So we all start with hypotheses that we want to test. That's the starting point. Once we have those hypotheses, we can work from there. So if you see the hypotheses in these posters, that might give you some ideas, or what hypotheses might we want to test in the data we're currently working on. Yeah, if you want. I was just thinking about last year's, but if you want to send the year before also, you can do that.
So I'll send those out. I mean, someone has to go to the conference to present it. So Taylor presented their posters this year. I presented the previous year. So that would be something. Where's the conference?
I think it's in Washington, D.C. So that's a train ride or a car ride. Much easier than Chicago, which is where it was last August.
Yeah, I tell her what I want to talk about.
Huh?
She goes to the whole lab.
No. Taylor, you want to talk about your experience in Chicago in August? Just last month.
Yeah, wow.
I know. Featuring.
So one student goes per...
No, anybody can go, but Taylor happened to be the only one who was able to go last month.
That's what I was going to ask.
But we do need at least one person to commit to go. Otherwise, there's no point in doing it. Right?
How much does Washington is not as bad as
Right, so I made a weekend out of it. I went from Thursday to Sunday. I did all the sightseeing. Like, I needed a Chicago weekend. Obviously, an awesome part of it. So, if you have financial ability and the time, go. Washington, D.C. is also a great place.
I went previous year to San Francisco for 8 years, so my husband and I went for a week. So, you could do that. Like, it's only 50 minutes, like Taylor said.
Yeah.
It's much smaller. It's just like Westchester Science and Engineering Fair. I did this whole market and HIV research. I went back to school and won an award for it. So, probably one of the reasons I'm sitting here right now.
Wow, nice.
I also presented a poster.
Okay.
Yeah. In New York City, at APSA, the American Psychoanalytic something associated.
The American Psychoanalytic Association?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So I conducted my experiment with the New York Psychoanalytic Institute. So I was doing my own research project, so I was able to present it there. It was really cool.
Okay, great. That was at the Waldorf Astoria?
Yes.
Where did they...
No, not the Waldorf. I think the Marriott in the town.
Okay.
I think it was the Marriott.
Did you check out the hotel?
Yeah. Yeah, I forget the name of the hotel, though. I can't remember.
Marriott.
No, I know, but I can't remember if it was a Marriott or a Hilton in Midtown on, like, 58th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe you guys would like to go. How much did the whole thing, like, the registration cost? So it's $210 off the top, and then lodging and transportation's in addition to that. So it's kind of costly, but actually, as conventions and conferences go, that's kind of cheap.
Like, good for your resume.
Huh?
It's good for your resume.
Yeah, absolutely. I go to an annual conference that also has, you know, different locations every year. It's an international conference called the Society for Psychotherapy Research. And that registration fee, if it's the early bird rate, is $495. So that's the early bird rate. So $210, is that what you said? $210 is pretty reasonable, given what it could be. And then if it, like, this past summer was in Buenos Aires, so I had to fly to Buenos Aires and stay there. And, you know, LIU gave me $900, but that doesn't begin to cover all the costs. So, you know, it tends to be kind of costly. But then I get to see Buenos Aires, and we took a side trip to Uruguay, and it was nice. Yeah. So I hope that your interest has been piqued and that you will consider doing it. How's that, Amanda? All right, so be thinking about hypotheses that you might want to test using the data that we're going to be, that you're either entering into the computer or that we'll be coding. I like the first part. The second part is probably because there's so few, it sounds like very few people actually took the time to complete that questionnaire. But maybe some of the other instruments. Those are all good ideas. So think about that. Maybe you guys formulate some hypotheses and we'll bat them around in 2 weeks. Because the deadline for submission is what, December? Okay. It's coming up. It's coming up. Is the deadline. Okay. So mark that down, December 12th. We got to come up with something. So what they want is an abstract. How many words is it usually? 250 is the max. So usually consists of like kind of like a brief lit review and then their method and then, you know, what you expect to find, your hypotheses. So be thinking about that. The way we do it is that there's one student who takes the lead on the poster. That student becomes the first author. And then typically the rest of the students are placed in alphabetical order and I'm last in the list.
Wow.
Yes.
Holly answered me.
What?
Holly answered me.
Oh, yeah.
So you know.
Huh?
Who entered the session by
Yeah, who did it?
Will, Raphael, Justin. And Raynell.
Raynell? It doesn't even ring a bell.
Yeah.
right
Justin,
now.
Justin, Raphael, Will, Adam,
right now. I don't know right now. Okay. So non-lab members, it sounds like. Except for Pally. Right? All right. We'll figure it out. So if people want to start thinking about hypotheses and we can throw around some ideas in 2 weeks, how does that sound? And so everybody will get their name on it as long as you do something, participate. But there's one student who typically takes the lead and that person becomes first author and then I'm the last author on it. And I'm the one who typically does the stats. I'll do the stats and I'll do the editing and proofreading of the abstract. Right, Amanda? Okay. Sound good? All right. So we've got about a half hour to go. So your assignment for this week was to review all 100 items of the PQS and to think of some questions to ask of certain items that might seem unclear or wouldn't know how to use them when Q-sorting.
I have a question about specific items, but before I get into the specific items, I'm just a bit confused as to what to do with some stuff that's just non-existent. Like, there's some items that involve language that you put as the characters aside, like, patient is concerned or conflicted about his or her dependence on the therapist. So if there's absolutely no language in the whole session about, like, learning about termination or whether it's a therapist or any of the characters, the terms he mentions, are we going to have to just sort of rank them characteristically anyway? Because the people in the five...
So which item are you looking at?
So I'm just using item 8 as an example.
Item 8, okay. Patient is concerned or conflicted about his or her dependence on the therapist versus comfortable with dependency or wanting dependency. So place toward characteristic end. If patient appears concerned about or uncomfortable with dependency, for example, shows a need to withdraw from the therapist or in some manner reveals a concern about becoming dependent on the therapy. All right, so I want to come to session every other week. I don't need you. I can do this on my own pretty much. I'll see you in 2 weeks. All right, versus... place toward uncharacteristic end if patient appears comfortable with being dependent. This may take the form of expressions of helplessness, or the patient may appear either comfortable or gratified by a dependent relation with the therapist. Rate is neutral if patient experiences a sense of relative independence in the therapy relationship. So uncharacteristic would be, I think I need to come more than twice a week. Maybe, can I come every day? I'll pay you, I need to come every day. I get so much out of this and I really depend on you and you help me so much. And actually, can I move into your basement?
We should reasonably expect there to be language one way or the other that would
transfer. Well, if not necessarily specifically addressing this, but if you get a general sense that the patient functions somewhat independently, but they do take seriously what the therapist says, they take it to heart, then you maybe put it in a middle pile. It's neutral. Right.
If they were asking about it a lot, that
would be more. Right. If they're talking about it a lot, chances are it's going to go into a characteristic or uncharacteristic pile. But if it's not really much of an issue and they seem like, they're there to get help, but they don't seem helpless, then a more middle pile. Yes.
Item
10.
Not necessarily trying to bolster a different kind of relationship with the therapist, you know what I mean? I don't really know how I create, like, I don't know how I make the judgment call on how exactly, how much is too much for you.
Well, patient appears to either wish or attempt to transform the therapy relationship into a more social or personal intimate relationship. Patient expresses concern about the therapist or attempts to gain knowledge of the therapist's personal life. So I see this 5-year-old boy in therapy. And in my office is a picture of my daughter, who's 6. And he saw, this is a true story, and he saw the picture and he asked, "Who's that?" And I said, "That's my daughter." And he said, "I want to meet her." So if I were, I mean, that's a child therapy, this is an adult therapy relationship, but if I were coding this item for that particular session when he asked about my daughter, you know, this would go in a characteristic pile. But if patient doesn't appear to seek greater closeness with the therapist, then it's uncharacteristic. And you're probably thinking, well, what about all the middle piles? You know, each item is rated in relation to all the other items. So you might have to move the items around depending on where the other 99 are.
No, right. I was just thinking that, like, if say a patient asks the therapist, like, "Oh, like, how was your day? Like, how was your day? How are you doing?" Like, I feel like that might not necessarily be trying to create a new relation, a new kind of dynamic. Though it may qualify as that, based off what I'm reading here.
If you feel that it's more like customary, this patient said, you know, "How's your day?" at the beginning of the session, I wouldn't put much stock in it. But if in the middle of the session, the patient says, "Really, how are you today? I really want to know. I see that you seem to have a very serious facial expression. What's going on with you today?" Then patient's seeking greater intimacy. You're certain of that because it's not happening at the very beginning of the session. It's happening in the middle of the session. The patient seems very insistent on learning more about the therapist or getting the patient to open up about his or her own life. Then you would rate this more characteristic. And the more insistent the patient is, the higher you rate it. Eli.
This is more like an overarching question that I had. And we kind of touched on this last week. But a lot of the items, when you go over the, when we're looking over the dialogue by the writing instead of recording, we know kind of like is one more effective than the other? How effective is going over the script when they're written out? Just because I feel like specifically when we're reading the dialogue between the patient and the therapist, there are like a lot of examples where I can see a situation where I'm just not sure, you know, what the level of intensity. Let's say, for example, I think, here, I'll pull it up. Patient experiences discomforting or troublesome affect during the session. That's item 26. Like, through writing, I don't know how you're supposed to tell the degree to which that's present. Or patient has a cathartic experience. I'm sure they're going to accompany those feelings with words, but to be able to fully rate them, I feel like it's difficult when looking at a script.
Well, keep in mind that these items were designed for transcripts. They weren't designed for video or audio tape.
So they were, that was the first part. They were designed for transcripts.
Yes. In fact, this instrument's never been used in any other venue other than transcripts.
Okay, got it. And do they have, are there studies done on like the accuracy of, or is there any way to measure that? Like, kind of like the validity of like how well it measures the actual dialogue between.
Well, there are all kinds of validity studies for the PQS, and I'd recommend Enrico Jones's book, the 2000 book that he published called Therapeutic Action. So if you're interested, you can buy that book, and he really gets into detail about the validation of the instrument.
Therapeutic Action.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so a patient might be crying, but you can't tell that. Maybe you can't tell that from the words that the patient's saying. I mean, they might be talking about a birthday party they attended and they're crying, and you wouldn't know that. Well, then you don't know that. It's incumbent upon the therapist to say, oh, I noticed you're crying while you're telling that story about the birthday party. Then you know that the patient's crying. But if the therapist doesn't say anything and the patient doesn't say, I'm crying, you'll never know that they're crying while they're talking about a birthday party that they attended.
Right.
Right? You have to infer it from the language. Now, you might see the transcriber write in parentheses, sniffling. You might get some hints like that. Blowing a nose, you know, and then you might think, okay, maybe they're crying about this. But other than that, you're not going to get, right. So this is different from the CPQ, the child psychotherapy Q set, which is some of the students in this room have some experience using. That instrument is used in conjunction with videotapes. Videotapes, you know, it's a lot easier in that sense to tell what's going on emotionally with a patient. This is a little bit more difficult. And if you don't know, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know what you don't know, right? What other items of interest?
I have actually the same two questions as Elijah. I was concerned about 60. Well,
60.
But you kind of answered that. So.
Let's see.
Patient has a cathartic experience.
Yes. Okay. Plays toward characteristic direction if patient gains relief by giving vent to suppressed or pent-up feeling. For example, patient cries intensely over the death of a parent. Now, crying intensely, you would hear the sobs, I would think.
Yeah.
Right? Over the death of a parent, tells the therapist he feels better as a result of getting these feelings out. So.
Yeah, like some of it definitely for the catharsis is, you know, clear based on what they're saying, but, you know, kind of what Eli was saying too, some of it may not be as clear.
Right.
We talked about that already, so.
Yeah. What other items?
Eighty-two.
All right, let's start with 77. Because it's on the way. Therapist is tactless. Place toward characteristic venom. Therapist's comments seem to be phrased in ways likely to be perceived by the patient as hurtful or derogatory. This lack of tact or sensitivity may not be a result of a therapist's annoyance or irritation, but rather a result of lack of technique,
right,
polish, or verbal facility. And then uncharacteristic if therapist's comments reflect kindliness, consideration, or carefulness. So let me think of an example. So this morning, I actually met with the parents of this boy I was telling you about earlier, and I had heard from the school social worker, that in a meeting, a school meeting with all the administrators, that the father had called this kid psychotic. So the social worker heard that, the principal, the teacher, the CIET representative, the occupational therapist.
The child was there?
No, the child wasn't there. This is an adult meeting to talk about treatment planning for this kid in school. And the father and mother were there, and this father had said, my kid's psychotic. I don't know what he was trying to pull. Maybe he thought by saying that he'd be guaranteed this kid services. Who knows? But he said it according to the social worker who was there. So today when I'm meeting with him, I could have very well said, you know, don't call your kid psychotic to anybody. That's really a bad thing to do. You know, come on, what's wrong with you? Now, would that have been tactful or tactless? Because the father wouldn't have been able to have heard that. He would have immediately got defensive. So how did I handle it? I didn't address the comment, but I did say, I think you have a very healthy boy who's making a lot of progress in therapy, and he just has some anxiety issues that I'm helping him with, and the social worker told me that he's doing fabulously in school so far in the first 3 weeks of school. So rather than confronting him on what he said, calling his kid psychotic to these experts, you know, I decided to take the approach, letting him know, reassuring him that his kid isn't psychotic by saying, this kid, you know, is doing very well. He has some anxiety issues that we're addressing in sessions, and I think he's making tremendous progress.
What's his response to
that? He felt very relieved to hear that, because both the parents are extremely anxious people, and you know, for reasons I don't fully understand, they both want to attribute the worst possible diagnoses to this kid. So the mom thinks he's autistic. The father thinks he's psychotic. You know, this kid is nowhere in that ballpark at all. You know, but armchair diagnoses is what parents do for a living. So I had to try to reassure them this kid's really doing very well. He's very healthy. And I wonder whether, and I talked this over with the social worker, that maybe the parents don't want to take responsibility for any kind of, you know, impingements that they've created or damage they might have caused. And so it's much easier to attribute genetically based illnesses like autism or schizophrenia to a kid, then it's not my fault. So these parents might be dealing with a lot of guilt. I don't know. They're not my patient, but I'm still exploring that. I haven't treated him for a very long time, so I'm still learning. But I try to be as tactful as possible with kindliness, consideration, and carefulness. But I did model for you what the opposite of that might look like. I'd be right. I would be accurate in what I'm saying, but I wouldn't be tactful. So that would be a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's something you could actually read in a transcript.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. So then 80, did you say? 82. So the patient's behavior during the hour is reformulated by the therapist in a way not explicitly recognized previously. So what's the...
The not recognized previously part is confusing. It's also, like, the example doesn't really clarify what it means by that so much, I don't think, because it's like they shed new light on it as opposed to... Like, it sounds like it involves previous sessions.
I see where the confusion is. So previous sessions are not part of your coding. What you're going to be doing is you're going to be coding a patient and therapist over a number of sessions. So ideally, you'd be rating a different therapist and patient every single time. Because that's not the case here, we're actually focusing on a single case. It's a single case study. You are looking at the same therapist and the same patient. Now, the sessions each of you will be coding or Q sorting will be out of order. So they'll be randomly assigned to you out of order. So you might get session 4 1 week, session 64 the next week, and session 35 the third week. There's not going to be any order to your coding. However, you might be tempted to make certain assumptions about this dyad. Try to avoid that. We don't want any carryover from one session to another. Each session should be brand new to you. You shouldn't think about previous sessions you've seen. And those of you who've done the CPQ, how hard is that? You want to say more than?
Because you have like a bias about how you feel like they are. And then you don't want to keep that bias with you when you restart.
Right, because then all the sessions you code are going to look kind of the same. And maybe they aren't the same. But because you've put blinders on, all the sessions you code are going to be the same. And so then they won't be accurately reflecting what's actually going on in the sessions.
So how will we answer that? I don't
know. Okay. So let's say therapist says, you've been late now for several sessions. I wonder if there's an issue here that we need to talk about.
Not even know he didn't.
Exactly. You've been late for the past 4 weeks in a row. I'm wondering if you're trying to tell me something. If so, what might you be trying to tell me? Or, you know, you forgot my payment last week. What's up with that? You know, I had one patient tell me, in all sincerity, she said this, she wasn't kidding around, a borderline patient. She said, but don't you guys take a vow of poverty like Mother Teresa?
No way.
Swear to God. It happens. Especially with more severely disturbed patients. She was a very entitled person, and she really did think that people owed her in life. And if you knew her childhood history, it would make sense to you. But so had to talk about that. But I had to bring up the fact that she had missed payments for a couple of sessions. So, what other items? Seeing as there's no other items to talk about, what I'm going to do is, tonight, I am going to send out a transcript. And so in addition to your data entry assignment, which isn't going to take you very long, and you've got 2 weeks to do it, so that's, so it's 12 hours of work. I will give you one therapy transcript stripped to Q-sort for 2 weeks from today. And I'd like it to be done 2 days before Thursday, so Tuesday night. If you could do it Tuesday night, that would be great.
So October 17th?
What?
October 18th, not next Tuesday?
Let's see.
Can we send it to you?
Yes, the 8th. Okay. Yes. Similar to what you do in class. Okay, with so your last name in the file name.
Okay, so we use that same tool.
Yes, it's
tool.
Trello. Yep. I'd asked everyone to check your Trello board to make sure it works properly. Did you do that?
I didn't. I'll do it now.
Okay. Because Taylor's here now. She's the one who didn't. Weren't you the one who set it up?
Yeah.
Okay, but you set it up. So
yeah.
After today, you're not going to be here.
Right. I'm going to check right now.
So it's important that you guys do that if you haven't done it already. All right. So thank you, guys. See you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah.